Yes, welcome to a very special Keeping the Ball on the Ground. Sponsors William Hill and
Black Rooster.
Fucking hopeless by Black Rooster. Right, shops in Paisley, Duke Street, Coat Bridge, mate. Ever up, get yourself a chicken supper. How are you, alright? Special good, guest, mate. Sorry, Charlie McGrew. Big gorgeous chops, great to get you back on, mate. How are you?
Pleasure, mate. Pleasure to be here.
How's old Blackburn and Moggart?
Aye, good. Things are going well this year, I'm enjoying it.
Well, old cliche answer, aye, right, no worries. Oi, where's that, I always want to say to you, your gear's terrible today, but where's that velvet suit you used to have?
What one?
The one you used to wear in the training, remember? William McStay borrowed it.
That's you ended right.
up keeping it.
I ended up, I left it and stole for Lennox Town. I wore it in one day, and then ended up having to get him and sell it gear. Couldn't they find it, somebody stole it.
What sort of era are we talking?
Era sale? Where's all my good girls? Where's all my bad girls? I'm talking about those bloodlines. Yeah. Oh, Charlie boy, great to see you. Hey, pleasure
man,
as always. Pleasure as always.
Charlie.
What a heel name.
Don't find heels like them anymore.
Fucking beautiful.
Oh, the reason you're on is because you've loved the man on the podcast, haven't you?
Oh, brilliant. Aye.
Favourite story?
The one up at Elgin.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Was that
absolutely fantastic. Listen, that was one of the days. I was 5 minutes in. And
by the way, my niece's boyfriend, a Clyde fan.
Was he
raging? He was up there that day.
Well, I tell you, and I said in the podcast before, I think they need to get their head looked at before I get my head looked at, if I get up. I've said it once, I'll say it twice, and I'll say it to their face as well.
I'll tell you something, mate, there's no chance of low blood sugars today. Tanking that monster in that moment.
Gosh, I've been shaking like a leaf all day. Honest to God, didn't I?
You've not slept, have you?
I've no. Honestly, Charlie.
How many cans you had?
I've had one can and two double lattes. But listen, Charlie, Si's told me for a wee while I was coming to meet you and all that, but I've no slept in the last 3 nights, ain't I?
No,
I've been messaging Si all the time. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today, but in my own health, I'm struggling because I can't sleep.
Do you know what? I'd get you a good night's sleep. Staying at that man's house tonight.
Well, that's what I was saying to Si earlier. I'm a bad traveller. I struggle with the jet lag and the day's been horrible. Well, no jet lag today, but you know what I mean? That type of drainage that you get. But it's beautiful to see. Absolutely superb. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. Well, New York, New York. These little town blues. Oh, what a program the day we've got.
Right, I need to ask you something.
Yes, I'm going to get serious now.
I want the big man to tell us vegan diet.
Come on, Charlie. What's going on?
Who's on it?
Disgusting, isn't it? Disgusting.
Are you on it?
Listen, I'm not 100%. I try the. I'm about 90% on it. I do it.
90%?
I eat a bit of fish.
Right.
So, like, strict. I'm not one of them to go, oh, you're vegan, so I fucking don't eat anything, you know what I mean? I eat a bit of fish, and odd maybe once a week I'll have some chicken, so it's like.
Aye, well, listen, you need to, because in your job, Charlie, is a Scotland captain, Andy Robertson, absolutely amazing, but you're my captain. So you must eat chicken and fish. Can you?
I'll tell you, even managed to get wee Paul Caddis on it, mate, which I couldn't believe. I'll tell you a story about Paul Caddis, right?
Aye.
I stayed one for a month at Swindon when we first moved in. Friday night before a game, he'd get a Chinese, and do you know what he'd have for his pre-match on the Saturday? The leftovers from Friday night.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'll tell you another story about him, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you one in a second, because I'm fuming with him.
Ticanio, Ticanio's diet, obviously, it was all dry pasta and
nice
sauce.
On the road, I know. We should have got him on.
He's a cracking boy.
He hated that. He didn't eat a thing. So see away games for pre-matches. Kaz would drive to McDonald's, mate, and get the biggest McDonald's and stick it in his rucksack, right? So we'd sit at pre-match, he wouldn't eat anything, then on the bus to the away game, mate, he'd sit with his rucksack there with the zip open. The canoe would be down the front and he'd be like, he's McDonald's on the way.
You're joking me.
And then he'd go and be the best player.
There was 80 of us that went vegan that summer. We said, right, we're going to try vegan, and we stuck to it for a few months, and everybody started to drop off it, but and then I moved on to fish and that anyway. He got on it, and you know what he's like. He gets once he's on to something, that's him. But he was eating pieces and jam. So I was eating all day. So it was vegan, but he was eating pieces and jam all day. Just living on pieces and jam. I came in the morning, it was just like stacks of like half a loaf, loads of jam, just every morning. He was vegan, but he was eating.
But listen, see, a month ago, I get a message.
for a number, an unknown number. Hi, Paul. Been listening to you a wee bit of your interviews. It'd be great to get you in. It's Steve Clark. So I'm like, so I messaged Sarah away. I was like, have you got Steve Clark's number? But the WhatsApp picture was, I think it was his, the kids, whoever it was, two kids.
Something he'd be in it right over there.
Aye, right in the WhatsApp picture. So I was like, is Steve Clark got two younger kids? And Sai was like, I think so. So I was going to line with it and I said to Sai, what did I say?
He says, I'm shaking here.
I said, I was shaking like a leaf because Steve Clark, to me, as I've said, he's one of my heroes in life, and I think the job he's done with Kelly. Anyway, forget that. But so anyway, I've messaged him back, a big message with it. Listen, thanks so much for the text and all that. And it ended up, it was Paul Caddis. So it was disgusting for Paul Caddis, but a lovely man. And his debut was against Ronaldinho, wasn't it?
That was, mate.
Took half at half time, half you come, you're absolutely pathetic, but good on you. Aye, half off time, half you come.
60 minutes,
brilliant.
Oi, I want to ask you, first time you met him, do you remember it?
You were a wee bit late, us two meeting.
No, I don't particularly remember the first time, but I just remember. I remember him about the place, aye.
What was he like? Funny.
Used to come up to you before training and say, I'm training with you today, I'm training with the first team. Just don't give me the ball.
don't
pass me the ball. I'll just run about. It was funny because, as we know, that's how everybody felt. Mm-hmm. Try to train with the first team. But nobody ever said it. You always went, oh, brilliant and that. But you were like, just get through this today, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. See, with the first team, though, you do get that feeling, but there is no better feeling, Si and Charlie, after the session when you've done well. Oh, my God, you're buzzing.
That never happened very often.
It didn't happen to me because I always remember the session. You'd write a book about the sessions about Lennox time with me. Nightmare after nightmare, Charlie. honest to God, it was absolutely brilliant for other people to watch, but for me, it was terrible.
Tell the one that you got called over to do the set pieces.
Oh, the man, your gaffer, Tony Mowbray.
Oh, was it then?
It was then, Charlie, aye. And so the reserves, Lenny was taking
the reserves. Oh, wasn't there then?
No, you weren't there by then. But listen, you'd have probably seen a few nightmares of me anyway. But listen, we'll go back to that one. So your manager, Tony Mowbray, actually, are you in the Mora?
Aye.
Can I come in?
Aye. More than welcome.
Aye. Can you hit a set of pieces? Aye. Were they winkle pickers then?
I've showed them anyway. I'll get back to the story.
The studs are mouldy.
This carpet's a stud. He had them on in Dublin.
Hey, go on, tell us that one. That sounds good. Right, sorry. So we had the reserves are training. There's only about 6 days with Lenny, right? It was a bit. Listen, it was what it was. So Tony Mowbray shouted out to Lenny, I need two players to put the corners in. So me and James, Lenny said, Slaney and James, you're going to put the corners. So I was out on the left-hand side, James was out on the right.
But you're sent to the reserves.
But I'm sitting in the reserve. Me and James are up with the first team. See you later. And I mean, do not bother talking to me. Is that? So anyway, Charlie, James, you put a ball in. It'd be brilliant, right? They're playing Hearts the next day, so they're practicing set pieces for the game in the next day. So James, you putting the crosses in. Brilliant boys, right? And Mowbray's like, air for the other side now. So I hit my first one. I don't reach a box, right? Don't reach a box. And Lenny's like, fuck's. You can see Lenny. Fuck's sake. Uh-huh. Second one, don't reach a box again. But I don't know what I'm doing, Charlie. I'm trying to get, I'm swinging fully, and there's nothing getting into it. I can't reach your box.
Try for the first one, your head's gone.
But the third one, I done the third one again and crossed it.
Pitch?
Right out of the pitch it went. And Mowbray actually said, without a word of a lie, you can ask James as well, Mowbray said, come into the 18-yard line and take crosses for there.
I swear, wasn't
I swear to God, I was taking crosses for the 18-yard box. I swear to God.
What was that? Were you nervous? Why were you so nervous?
Well, it was Robbie Keane.
But being serious for a bit, why were you so sad at Robbie Keane and not a big name?
No, it wasn't really, it wasn't Robbie Keane. Listen, we signed the same day, which was great.
You and Robbie Keane?
We signed the exact same day.
Did you do the scarf again?
No, well, I never actually got asked to do anything.
Did that hurt?
That was embarrassing. Simple as that, because I'll tell
you. You stuck into the boardroom and then...
There you go.
Same as myself.
Well, I'm going to tell you something new, and I'm really, really sorry, Dad, because I love you to bits. I'll tell you why my Celtic career didn't go well. Because the day I signed, me and my man Dad went, and my dad turned up with a suit on. It was too big for him. And he shook Peter Lawwell's hand, and the suit jacket was over his fingers. I'm not joking. It feels as much as the suit jacket was going on. And then fucking when I had any play well, that was the image they had of me. But I tell you, me and my dad, honestly, my best mate, I love him to bits.
And
I tell
you,
George, I swear to God, I've always said this when I do interviews seriously and all that. the my biggest regret, no regret, you don't live with regrets, you simply don't, you move on with the times, but my biggest, the thing that hurts me the most is no make my man dad proud, but certainly...
Oh, I'm sure you have made
no, listen, my man dad love me, but I tell you, I will never forgive that man for the shit. Charlie, the sleeve of the horn there, the fingers. He's a prodigal, son. What a boy, so I love you a bit.
We travelled with Scotland 21s one time, me and Ross McCormick, first ever call-up. Twos came for the 19s, so I got a call that Sunday night for Rainer Bonhoff. Buzzing, right, so he's like, you need to wear a suit. So I was like, right, so I get my suit out. If I was 16, it was up to there, right? I was like, I need to put a tie with it. So I put a big pink Windsor knot and a big pink tie, right? Chose a pink tie, walked into reception. He's laughing. All the staff are laughing, going, you got to a wedding? Right, so I'm like, oh, trying to rip the tie off up to my room. Next morning, we're travelling. Didn't even know Roscoe was in the squad, so I'm thinking, I'm doing, they've all got the Scotland suit on, so I'm doing with my, this suit's too wee for me and that. I can't put the tie on, so I go downstairs to reception. Walked down, sitting there with the boys, they've all got the Scotland blazers on, they've all been measured up, at 21 you get measured, so I'm sitting like, oh, no, I need to travel with these, right? They gave me a tie, but my suit's miles off it, right?
So, what colour was the suit?
It was black and theirs was all blue with the grey trousers, right? What,
was it Moss Bros or something?
I don't know, buttons, I think it was.
Yeah, no bad.
So, I've sat down, next minute lifts open, the Roscoe's come out it, right? I've never been so happy to see in my life with his dad's pinstripe suit on, right? Could only see his fingernails. I when he came out, the smile on my face, I was like, yes, man, heat right after me.
Oh, brilliant, man. Did you ever go away with Scotland?
I was away with the under-17s at the Euros, the first time ever the under-17s qualified for the Euros. Did not score a goal. We were absolutely hopeless. But I was in the team with John Fleck, who is one of the best players I've played with. Amazing. Charlie, I'm sure you've played against him.
Played against him last year, I really
did. He really came on. West Ham wanted him. But listen,
is that why you wore the West Ham suit?
Is that correct? But anyway, no, I was away with Scotland. For me, Scotland was great, but I felt a wee bit of time, the boys didn't come together. They sort of stayed in their teams. And I really changed that mould.
What did you do? What
sort I just brought everybody together. Come to my room. There's a party going wild. And a party no meaning drinking it, not at all. Just let's go and have fun and have a
like. What, doing stuff like your best 1-11s and it?
Best 1-11s, and we've been doing it all day in the car. And we've been doing the car, doing all the best 11s. There you go. What's best Man United right back, Paul Parker. Yes, please.
Oh, you see when Sclaney was at Celtic? Did you feel a wee thingy to look after him because he was a young boy and he just came in? Nah.
You need to ask him, Matt, did he look after you?
Did he look
no,
after
but I must say...
Who was good with the older players?
I will say, Charlie, and I don't want to be blowing smoke up your nose because you're here, but you were absolutely amazing, not just with me, with younger guys. I remember sometimes when you go away with the first team and you're away in the hotel, it's horrible. Do you know what I mean? You don't know anybody, but my God. I
think you used to take the fact... You used to bring a ball with you.
I used to take a wee ball.
You used to take a wee ball with him? Just keep my mind there, a wee size, like a wee size 2.
A wee size 2 in hotels.
What, just to practice?
I just went out in the corridor about 1 in the morning. I couldn't sleep, remember?
You used to dribble about the corridors. I swear to God.
Did Lenny know that you were doing that?
I don't know, I'm not sure, but I couldn't sleep and I was too excited because I was with the first team. It was a dream come true, but I told you, I can't sleep, so I used to take a wee size 2 ball with me, run about the corridor, and then when I wanted to change, I'd go in the room, do wee volleys after one. It was brilliant.
Who was your roommate?
Nobody. We had the room rooms at Celtic.
Tells you everything that.
Right, no, but you had your own rooms. But can I just say, Charlie, and I wanted to ask you this, I know I'm wearing a suit, and it's joking or that, and I said in the past about James Forrest. Now, I hope people don't think that I was kidding on with that, because I do believe he's that good. I think he's one of the most special players this country's ever produced, and I really do believe that. I believe.
Up there with Dalglish in that?
Well, it's a different time, but certainly and a different type of player, but I certainly believe Man United, Jesse Lingard, double the player of him, double the man of him. We go to Liverpool, we go to Chelsea, Pedro. Even when Pedro was at Barcelona, James would have been playing ahead of him. So
James
what,
is good.
Very, yeah, very good. And I believe, Charlie, he's in this sort of... mindset than now. Do you remember when Gareth Bale was at Spurs?
Aye.
And I'm not saying he's similar to Gareth Bale. Forrest is similar to a Hazard type player, all right? Just amazing. A genius mind. Nothing phases that man. But what I'm saying is, with Gareth Bale, every time Spurs won, Gareth Bale was scoring a world day or he was winning the game. Forrest is in that mindset this season. And my God, I believe he will be at one of the best clubs in the world.
Did you find it hard competing with him when you were a young kid at Celtic?
Well, it's in a way. As much as I love him to bits, if I could be anybody in the world, it'd be him. And I mean anybody. If somebody said to me, you can be a billionaire right now, it'd be him. That would be it. But that was probably the reality that
he was much better.
I mean, I was
different type of players, but
what type of player was he?
He was. I always thought you were like a James Milner type.
Ah, yeah, that's exactly what I was. And when
Would
I was
you say a dog.
Aye, I was a wee bit, because you know, this is strange, right?
When I
was
a winger?
Aye, but when I was at Motherwell...
You remember the times we never trained well, but I remember the times you trained well. I don't remember all the times you see. I think
he exaggerates
it. I wasn't as bad as he probably thinks in his own head.
See, when you first seen him, doing talented kid?
Aye, I thought good trainer, good player, worked hard.
But do you know what the reason I realised I don't think I was good enough for Celtic was, at Motherwell I wasn't that type of player. I was flashy, I would take players on. I didn't really like going back the pitch. I would like to take players on.
Tricky winger person.
But seeing as it say, like, I think it must have been fitting, I'm not maybe at this level, so mm-hmm. I maybe need to change and work hard. And to be honest, a player like James Milner, I wouldn't pay 5p to watch him play.
No, haven't.
Well, listen, my great career, but I'm telling you right now, you do not pay money to go and watch players like that. There you go. Right back. Oi. Didn't bother me. You can play for the position. Play one good one.
Oi, you're saying that he helped you, but he also stitched you up with big Mistorovic, didn't he?
Unbelievable. Got on the bus, the first game away to Ross County. Unbelievable. I was up.
You came on your sub back then.
Unbelievable. Changed the game, 1-0 down, back him on 1-1. Didn't touch the ball, but listen, changed the game. But no, I remember going up, we're staying in the hotel and we're going up in the bus, and Charlie said, sit in that seat, pal. Sit in that seat. So I went and sat in it. Turned out a big damn Mistorovic's seat. And my God, he came up and ridiculed me, slaughtered me, get off my seat. But eventually, Kyle sat beside Dan. So I ended up sitting on Dan's seat and Dan sat in Kyle's seat. So we were sitting right beside each other the whole journey.
But everybody had their seats, didn't they? Just to kind of. That's the way it was.
Because I think you wanted to stay close to the ones you were close with. So you just sort of wee group. But for some reason, me and Dan get stuck together and there is a picture, we can't find it, unfortunately, that I'm sitting beside Dan, my face is bright red, and smiling, and Dan's sitting with thunder face.
So that was 5 years next time?
Fuming, I was asking him all the
questions. Was he, know him and Kyle quite close, they know Reggie Mew when Big Dan left?
Aye, Big Dan left, aye, that's right, and then we were on the bus one time and I had the music on. I didn't usually have the music, but for some reason my iPod was on, nobody liked my stuff, all
what,
stuff.
What sort of stuff were talking?
Range for anything, man. Old school dance to Elton John or anything.
Brilliant.
So I said to Behram, I've got a song for you. And it was Dan was like Behram's da, right? it was frightening. Do you remember it?
Oh,
he used to follow
my
boot. And then he would be Behram, you see Behram, like, to him listen to every word Dan said.
See when Mistorovic was on the bench or on the pitch, see when Kyle done something, he looked round for approval of him.
Did he,
yeah.
So I said, Dan's left, so I went, I've got a song for you, Bear, I missed your song, it was John Daniel. I was playing it on the bus, and just staring at me like that. I don't know if he didn't understand the music, or he was raging with me.
I think he'd have been upset, to be honest, that's probably the reason, aye.
See, all this, Lenny was obviously the manager at this time, all the stuff that happened on last week, are you surprised that that's all happened? Was it hard playing under him? Demands?
It was, but Celtic, we were winning. So when we get beat one game, it was torture after the game. For the next day, it was torture. We get made to come in and watch a video, and we'd been there for 2.5 hours. But you learned that was his management style, and then you knew, let's play the exact same game, but win the game, and you'll nobody doing that. You're the best people in the world, and he's all happy, and he's dancing about. You lose a game, and anything can happen. So you knew that was a big part of his management. I still say he's probably the best manager I've had, because he had a fear factor where you thought, just win this game. Just win this game. No matter all cost, just win the game.
He's a special man.
It's Celtic, you're losing one, then you're winning 4 in a row, and then you're maybe drawing, going mad, and then you're winning another 5 in a row. So places like Hibs, it's hard to comment because they're 8th in the table, they're maybe losing 2 or 3 in a row, and I don't know.
You think he's a very special man?
I actually do.
And up there with your dad, or huh?
No, but he's a leader of men. He really is. He's a born leader, a born winner. Very similar to Diego Simeone at Atletico Madrid. That aura about him and presence.
Tommy Burns, if we never won a youth team game.
Go mad, mate. 2.5 years
you'd be in. That's what you need.
So, I don't know if it's the way we were brought up or what. Or maybe young ones are different now. I don't know.
See that? Do you think they're different now?
Probably. I think that there's not as many managers now that act like that because they know they can't.
Mm-hmm. So, that annoy you though?
Not really, because it's different now, so it's, it is what it is. But I think you should be able to handle a manager shouting at you. Mm-hmm. I don't. There's nothing personal there. You just got to be able to handle it and move on.
Kevin McDowell, mate, in the reserves.
Oh, man. It was a nightmare. A nightmare. Even boxes before the training, you were like, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm. What was your best memories of the youth team? Was it not Scott Leach who was in charge of
you? I was
your man at his Larwick.
I was a cracker. We played a reserve game. And I was absolutely brilliant.
What a guy Leach is.
Brilliant. And I was brilliant this day, Charlie. And I mean, top of the range. But when I get that good on the game, I become even more arrogant. I become lousy. I become disgusting to my opponents. So I was mouthing other players, Charlie, bad mouthing other players through their legs and all that. Do all that, carry on, right? So after the game, brilliant. But Leach just came in, slaughtered us. Rightly so. Bad attitude. But at the time, you don't think like that. So I done it. After the game, I said to the boys on the bus, I'm not coming back. No ways am they shouting at me like that. So I've caught you looking at my hair there, size.
Can't take my eyes off.
Somebody said it's like the ice magic gem. No, ice gems. Is it? I don't know what the fuck that meant. Sorry. So anyway, literally was...
I know what that meant. That's like the way it's flowing back. Yeah, that's a compliment.
On the hair?
Aye.
It's a good cut, isn't it? It's a good cut, yeah.
It's a cracking cut. It's a wee guy, a wee Chinese guy, cracking, a lovely boy.
But do you know, say, what is he?
Aye, but it's a strange one. Does that play with his groggers? With his mouth when he's cutting your hair? No thanks, don't I hear it? No, but back to this is going wet. This has been brilliant.
Why do you not grow it like that?
I've got a receding hairline, so it goes, your man here starts back here. It's unbelievable, I swear to God, Charlie. Unbelievable. Right, Max Brannan, yes, please. Yeah, no, back to the story we got with Leachy's eyes. So, anyway, rightly so, listen, Leachy's a great man, honestly. Another sort of guy that was a winner. It might have been a wee bit hard on things, but as I say, it's part and parcel of the game. But so after the game on the bus, I said, I'm never coming back. Took a week off, turned the phone off, never went back.
You said that?
No, I did.
All right.
I didn't get back for a week, turned the phone off. 5 days into the week I was off, I was in the town, walking about the town, just I like this life, and I just walked about. Walked back and the youth coach was lying on the couch when I got back in the house, and he was like, I'm not leaving your house today if you come back with me.
Like she did?
No, it wasn't Leach, it was one of the other coaches who came and brought me back. But that was, even at a young age, it was maybe signs there that...
Did he ever had your dad's suit on, did he?
Well, I don't know. No, he didn't, the wee guy, didn't he? Because he came...
He's too big.
He was lying on the couch.
But yeah, you've been best days of your life.
Absolutely, and I always go back to Chris McCart, and I don't want to keep going, because Charlie McGrew's on, we want to hear him. The sex god of football, the sex bomb of football. He's got everything. Great, great player. The looks. The sort of Gerard Pique, a Scottish football. I know he plays in Blackburn, but the Scottish Pique, if you like, I believe so. And I believe in Brendan Rodgers' reign, maybe the one criticism. Should he have kept Charlie McGrew? Yes, is the answer. But moving back on, Charlie...
The
youth team days. We used to be in at 8 o'clock. We used to get the 7 o'clock train, we were in at 8 o'clock. We did not leave till 6 o'clock. We'd done every job under the sun. And I, at the time, you moan with each other, and, oh, doing this. That set you up for the rest of your life, discipline-wise. And people might say...
See, it's worked for you.
No, I know, but people might say, no, oh, well, how can you see your discipline? But I'm with this.
No, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And when it comes to respect, living your life and whatever, and treating people, you learn all that respect. And Chris McCart was the best at that. And it's the best. I've never been as happy as that in my whole life.
No.
Every day.
How youth team is brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant.
Well, he makes snake, he's a wee bit.
Brilliant. Nah, you're the man for that.
Hey, can you take training and implement into a game situation?
Was he like then?
Oh, he was funny. He was a great guy, wasn't he?
It was class, because then you thought there was no pressure, because you didn't need to go and play in front of a crowd and win games. We did have to win games, but it wasn't as much pressure on you then. It was just like go in and have a laugh, and that was brilliant.
Who was the funniest, Midge?
Midge was mental, aye.
We had a good group though, didn't we?
It was funny, man.
Youth teams is just absolutely amazing. The laughs you have, you become like a family, I believe.
Mm-hmm. You still speak to boys for the youth team?
Nah, ain't interested in them.
Who was in your youth team?
The ones that
Callum Henry was in your youth team, wasn't he?
Callum Henry. But with Celtic, when I came, when I came into the reserves, Callum McGregor and that were coming up.
That's right.
Callum McGregor, Forrest had just went into the first team. Liam Henderson, an unbelievable player. I think he was 15 or 16, wasn't he, when he came into the first team to train?
He was good, wasn't he?
I can always remember it because we were up and Liam Henderson came up and he was a lot younger than us and he went to the first team. And I remember we watched it, it was just unbelievable. Honestly, it was so special. It was special to see a young kid.
See, have you had his confidence, didn't you, Kura?
Well, I don't know, sorry, because sometimes I felt all right training, sometimes I didn't, but I was always getting injured, so I was never feeling. I mean, sometimes you play six, seven games and it gets you feeling good. Mm-hmm. I never really had that opportunity because of injury, so I don't know. But certainly, Callum McGregor, my God, what a player. He could play, and he can play anywhere, but he was just a special, special player. And you're no surprised. I think he's another one that could maybe go and move, Charlie.
He's done that
special. But again, talking about the boy, that maybe came away from it when I went to Celtic. At Motherwell, it was a lot more, all the Scottish boys,
more relaxed.
You've not really got a lot of money, maybe a couple of hundred pound a week. At Celtic, there was maybe foreign boys coming in and they're owning a bit more money. So it's not as good that way. But listen, it was.
Here's a question for you. Was there a top player back in youth team that you thought would have done better? Would have made it?
Could probably name five or six. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you? I mean, Rocco. Rocco Quinn, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Who else is there?
Character in Rocco.
Aye, aye. There's a few characters. Who else could you anchor? Loads of them. Remember the boy Gary Young? Do you ever remember him?
Gary Young,
I think he ever went full time, but like he was a left sider, rapid, unbelievable left foot, but just. It's hard to say what happened to him, do you know what I mean? He just kind of faded out, never even went full time.
Why don't you have the career you had in Enema?
I think it's odd, as you say, I mean, I go confidence in believing in yourself, but I think it's massive.
It would be you, Charlie, though. You have to be so mentally strong, I believe, to play with Celtic, and especially when you were there and left and then came back. There's even that extra pressure. He's been here, is he good enough? And that, the mental strength you must have to play with that club is on a different level, I believe.
To come through any team is hard, but to come through at Celtic...
The pressure, especially in Glasgow, the pressure is unbelievable. And it is a massive club. Now I go to the games and after 5 minutes, if they're not playing well, the fans get on their back. Do you know what I mean? The fans get on their back. So if you're not mentally strong enough, then you won't last. It doesn't matter how good you are. And I probably mentally, I wasn't strong enough. Thinking, I don't think I was, Charlie, because day in, day out, you need to do it. The standard when I was there, we was producing every day, and first it was incredible. You were talking about Wanyama, yourself, guys like that, every day had to be brilliant, Joe. Maybe I wasn't, I don't know.
But you says to me, you always thought you would make it. Remember it?
I always believed that I could do it. I always believed I could make it. Well, I wasn't arrogant and saying I'm going to make it, but in saying that, when I was at the reserve, in the reserves, and it was like you're training the first team, and it was like, wasn't he confident at all? I had to go away, going low. When I went to Dundee United,
was it when you maybe first started playing first team that you thought I can do it?
Even when I first came back, first couple of games, it was like, then it was like, maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple of good training sessions, and maybe a good game, and then you just go for there. Mm-hmm. And then things just start to happen, and you get more and more belief in yourself, and Lenny was good for me, and
does that ever see, as you say, when you first came back and you still felt a wee bit, I'm not sure.
Aye.
Does that go away completely, like that sort of the pressure there is always there playing with Celtic?
It's always there, but you get more confident with it, so you get to more belief in yourself. Right. But like first couple of games I had an absolute nightmare. And that was me coming back.
I remember the nightmares, and I was like
you just need to keep believing. It's that, I don't know, it's hard to say. And what helps is having a manager that he signed me back. So when we're coming through, right, and you're coming through the youth, you're seen as a youth team player, even though you came from other way, you're seen as a youth team player because you're signed young boy. You maybe get a wee chance in there. If I come through and I get that chance, I'm out, I'm never seen again. Mm-hmm. Lenny brought me in.
So you had to play?
So he's got, didn't he have to play me, but it's not as if I came in, I was a big
first,
signing.
But you were a first.
But he's came in
signing.
And he's like, I'll look after you. Like I'll. They want to do their best for you, and then when you do get the chance, then you just go
so
for
see
it.
See, when you came back and you were maybe never had the best of the stats, would he be slaughtering you, or would he pull you aside saying, "Don't worry about
it"? He did slaughter you, but it's still have chats with me saying, "Listen, keep your head up." And that at the time he brought me in kind of as a left back. He says we're bringing in another left back, but we still want you. And I'm thinking to myself, right. And then I got a chance, I get in, Emilio get injured or something, and I get in, and then I think I played, started playing centre back then. Need a centre back, I played centre back, and then just went for there, and I had a good game, played well, and then just gained confidence and belief for there, and just went. Do you know what I mean?
See, when you left Celtic, went back to Motherwell, did you feel you went back a better player?
When I left Celtic, I went to Motherwell and only went back to training, but my hip was knackered, so I couldn't sign again for a team. I had to get that sorted before. And then when I got that, it's just, that was, I was done. I tried to go part-time, or that, but I was done, but I don't know, you know, I swear to God, I don't know if it was for injury or no, but I felt I was a much better player at 16 than I was 20.
So you felt a better player at Motherwell?
Much better at Motherwell, but I don't know.
Do you think that was in your head or
do you think? I don't know. I can remember the first time ever in my career where I lost my confidence completely, and I heard players saying it. I heard players saying, oh, I mean, he's no confidence. It was a fair training session, and I have never experienced it. You couldn't do anything right. Couldn't see anything.
Well, that happened to me.
You went through a stage.
That happened to me at the age of, when I was growing, from the age of 11, or 12 even, through to like 15, 16, well, I actually couldn't pass a ball to a teammate.
Aye, it's horrible. Like, it just takes
I remember you used to train 2 years above yourself, and you'd come train with us, and I was like, it was unbelievable, like, unreal. And I was like, I couldn't pass a ball. You might remember it. I could not pass a ball to a teammate.
Thought you had high heels on.
I was like Bambi on ice. And it was like, that wasn't even just a 2-game spell. That was about a 2-year spell where I was clinging on to getting released.
To get in contract. Jimmy Mack says that with you.
And then just before I got a contract, Tommy Byrne said, right, you've got 6 weeks to prove yourself. And I was like, well, it's now or never. So I managed to, played for a week, so I had 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the boys got a 1-year deal, and somebody's got a 2-year, and Aidan McGeady and Rocco got a 3-year. But to get a 2-year deal, I was like, buzzing. But maybe the knockbacks and confidences then, made me stronger for when I got them when I was older. Maybe, I don't know.
You look at Andy Robertson as well, but do you know what I mean? Like, go for Celtic, then went to Queen's Park, and then it just comes on as you see career goes. I don't know.
But see, being a character, drink, that kills you as well. See, when you are that character, drink, that kills you.
I used to always have a battle in my head. It was mental, a battle in my head all the time when I went home. I used to be in with all the reserves, having them all laughing, right? All laughing, getting on, and you would do it. And then when I went home, I went, that coach might think I'm a fuck a bit. Or they might, that coach might think I'm a... But I took football really serious. Probably too serious, because I never stopped thinking about it. I would never do it, and I didn't have a life. Honestly, I was pathetic and sad.
Who's the biggest character you've played with? There you go.
You were a massive character.
What was he? What was funny about him?
Just it was. It made everybody want to be there. He's that type of person. He was a massive character on and off the pitch. He had big balls. It was great. But that's what I love, Charlie. See people that, because there's an old saying that the loudest room is actually the weakest. But Charlie, in your example, certainly not. As I said, just brought everybody together. It's so, so funny, and the boys absolutely loved you. But when you went out in that pitch, you were a leader, and that's what I'm talking about, the big balls, do you know what I mean? You must have big balls.
But we had a laugh then, didn't we? Like, even in the youth team, and even when you came back, we had laughs, and we even...
I think Lenny liked that, though.
But when it was serious, it was serious. So, like, even in the warm-ups, we'd have a laugh, we'd be... mucking about and whatever, but as soon as training started, it was gone. There was no laughs in training, it was always
the training. I always say the training itself, it was so hard. It was like, see, when you have to build up to a game, I felt training was like that. Mm-hmm. There was so much pressure on it, and the standard was unbelievable, especially the Fridays, Charlie. My god,
young,
one touch was fucking horrible.
One touch, two touch, all in.
I used to do the one touch and stop, and everybody's going about me. Come on, no. I remember one session, I just stood behind Wanyama, the whole session. Geez, I was behind Wanyama, I remember
one of these sessions at Barfield, and I wasn't in the team at the time. There was a bit of time where I was. My head was all over the place, wasn't feeling confident, whatever. I was at the team Amelia was playing. So I did an old V Young, so obviously everybody joins in old V Young, and I've took a ball at my feet before the starts, and I've zinged it right off the back of Amelia's heat. I've no meant it. I've tried to put it in the goal. He's not doing an all fours. Lenny's like, obviously I think he'll be injured tomorrow, looking at me. You'll know, play like, yeah, fuck, shouting. I'm like, oh no, please get up.
Mate, did you know that Danny McGrain or Diag as well?
No, that was Harry. I know he blocked one. Danny went on to all fours. Back to Haribo, And he hit it again and it scalped in the chin and like, Danny was lying flat out. Danny was passing training
or not. Mind you, you got Danny a couple of times when we're doing a warm up and Danny's walking around setting up all the cones. And every time he walked on, you moved the cone a wee bit. Danny kept turning around like that.
Scratching his head. No, I remember. I remember Danny one time in the boxes. You remember this? It was just when I came back and he was taking some boxes and we're doing the boxes anyway and the bog is out. No, Danny's at the side putting it in, telling you the rules and all that. And we're passing it in the possession box. Next minute, a ball goes out, and obviously all the balls have went. And he's turned around and went, like, and kicked a bunch of cones in. I thought it was a ball.
What are the cones scattered everywhere? So he did.
Remember, he used to get changed in the dressing room, didn't he?
Oh, what a guy.
He'd stand in the shower with Danny McGrath. Big Jim O'Brien used to Danny boy every time, didn't he?
Danny's one of the best. For him to great be the guy. Player he was, and what an unbelievable guy, wasn't he?
Tommy was the same, Tommy Burns was the same, wasn't it? What a laugh.
Just
man.
An amazing
remember
guy.
Remember, the 3v3s used to join in it?
Brilliant. A good story about Tommy, about when I first signed, now you'll say when you first signed, I was 16 when I first signed, and I went up, my mum and dad went up, suit sewn, like, went up.
Sounds familiar.
That was the same suit I had when I was 21, getting called up for the 21s. So I went up, walked in, and obviously my mum and dad quite wee, so I walked in, and Tommy's like, where does he get his height for? I was about 6'3". On dial at 5'7", 5'8". My dad went like that, genuinely serious. Like, my granny was tall. Like, she was a tall woman, I think she was 5'10", 5'11". He was proud of his granny, right? My granny was tall, and Tommy went like that, sharp as him. Like, who'd she play for?
Oh, bro. See, just on that, tell the more off story at Aberdeen.
What, why?
The one you sent on the voice note to Desi Young.
About his
trainers. He's
trainers. Desi Young was brilliant. Mo signed for us at Aberdeen, right? A short term contract and that. And he's come up, I think he was travelling for Dundee, he was staying with his ma. So he's come up one day and walked into the change room and he'd done Prada's own. Remember the Prada's, if they go up with their first wage right to cruise?
The straps.
Aye. He walked in with them, but that was what, 2008 or something? Hadn't seen them for years. So I was like, Mo, where have you pulled the Prada's for? So everybody's sitting around anyway, I'm like, I got them from my ma's wardrobe, eh? Desi's went, what's down your ma's wardrobe? Sharp as end, like that, mate.
Killed him, man. Right, talk about a few other characters. Paddy McCourt.
Brilliant.
One of the best.
Honestly, what an amazing guy. So funny, but without even meaning to be funny. Just a dry sense of humour. He was just amazing. Really moaning in training. But again,
one of the morningest I've ever trained.
Is he?
Aye.
He wasn't like that.
But how good was this Charlie in training?
Unbelievable.
One of the best players I've ever seen.
He could just honestly, see like, the if he played in George Best here, he'd be the best in the world.
I think so.
He was unbelievable, wasn't he? Like with the ball.
See,
it was like a throwback.
See, like the goal Maradona scored for England. I'm not just saying this. Charlie, Paddy used to do that in training every single day.
He was just a slug on crutches, wasn't it? With asthma.
What was the one?
But you. See some of the reserves games, mate, you were standing like
and aye, he was frightening.
What was it, just the fitness?
When he had the ball, he looked fit as anything. When he lost it, he just was like that, and you seen the hair moving. But I don't know, like, he used to dread, like, the runs at pre-season. So I used to share a room with him pre-season, and it would be 4-4s in the afternoon. Lenny loved 4-4s in the afternoon.
Oof.
So we'd eat a lunch, go back to our bed and lie down, right? You know, it's like you're just chilling for a couple of hours. The whole tours, he'd speak about what pace he was going to do the fours at and asking me what pace I was doing. And he's not going flat out, he's tight. And surely the manager realised if he's tight, I'd be like, Paddy, come on, man, just let's rest for 2 hours. We'll deal with it when it comes. He'd speak for the full tours.
Oh, mate, we interviewed Michael O'Neill, right? And Michael O'Neill says that he said on a Monday we'd put up the schedule. So it'd be like maybe on a Wednesday it'd be a double session. He says, as soon as we met up, the morning we met up, Paddy'd come straight over and went, I think, Gafford, do you mind if I take Wednesday afternoon off? I don't think I can do a double session. Like when you said, just like get this morning out the way, Paddy, and then we'll talk about Wednesday. Oh, what a man.
What a player, though, honestly. What a guy, you know. Amazing guy.
Did he look after you?
He was amazing with me. Absolutely amazing. Even times when I did have the injuries and whatever, he would always come and see if you were all right. He was amazing, honestly. Yeah. I couldn't speak highly enough of that man.
It was the 1v1s, mate. We Stratton used to put, see if somebody annoyed Stratton, he would do 1v1s and put him up against Paddy, man.
He was made for him, wasn't he? Made for him.
He never even done a trick, though, eh?
No.
Just I don't know how he done kips, it. Wasn't
he was so quick with the ball.
What about, there's another character on here, Samaras, is he a character in that?
He went through a stage of calling me Stevie. It was bizarre.
He called you Stevie?
It was bizarre. Honestly, that was it. This isn't trying to be funny. He said somebody called me Stevie and didn't mean it. And he was standing there and heard it. And ever since, he just kept calling me Stevie, but laughing after it. I was like, what is this guy doing?
He was calling you Stevie Frail.
Do you remember the time Stevie was in the queue for lunch and Lenny went, fucking hell, you're going to let the boys eat first? I swear to God, Stevie, that was the last time you seen Stevie up in the...
So you just talking about him being Stevie Friel, did you always see a top coach in him from a young age?
Oh, I always said that.
Was he always?
Aye. Was always with Mark. You were never without markers, whistles.
Aye, what was Willie McStay's after training?
Balls, big markers.
Fucking hell.
Sammy, big Sammy, good guy, you know that, but the smell of fags off him.
Like a fag, eh?
Frightening. Didn't he know it? Somebody said, you smell the fags off him, so you're looking for it. The smell of fags off the guy. Honestly, I don't know if he smoked or he gelled his hair with Lambert Butler, but.
He could be a top player at times, so Sammy.
Oh, he was
big
a joke.
Games, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
He was a joke. He was brilliant. I remember that Atletico Madrid game in the Europa League. Random game, right, but away, and he was flicking it onto his cell, running and getting it. It was unplayable.
And then other times he just.
Do you think he just couldn't fancy it?
Maybe just didn't fancy it. I found it easier to get yourself up for the big games or whatever. I don't know.
Just choking for a snout.
But Lennon, but Gaffer certainly seen him as a big player because he did play him in the big games, didn't he?
He loved him.
What about Bruni? Did he teach you as a captain? Didn't he just say if they take it? Did he actually?
No, really. People ask me. No, I've asked that before. To be chosen a captain, I just think that people have chosen you because of the way you are. So just try and be who I am. And I think that's what he done. Because he never changed from what I've seen in him, if he'd been with Scotland 21s, to then when I went back to Celtic was captain, he never changed. So maybe that was something I learned, just be yourself. Because if you're chosen to be captain, it's because of what you're doing. And as I say, I like a laugh in that, but I'm serious at the right times, I think. So.
Did we see Kelvin Wilson? He said that Bruni was a top player. You go along with that?
Aye. Brilliant. He canes himself and all that about how he always on about his touch and all that and calls himself just a dog, but he's brilliant.
Nah, he's brilliant, isn't he? What a he's player. Brilliant. Even since he's come back, since people were writing him off.
He's come back, you write him off, he's just getting even stronger.
He's been absolutely amazing and again, a one off, isn't he? He's a leader.
It's a bit like you when people write you off, isn't it?
The total opposite of me. No, but he really was on it. And even again with younger players, he was just amazing. He really was. And as I said, a total born leader.
Were you ever captain?
No.
You think it would have brought?
Like... going back to the character thing again, being a character and all that. That's what kind of caught me. And it was a dream to be a captain for me. Since a young boy, it must be an amazing feeling. But because I was joking about all that, people probably didn't see. We can't have that guy as the leader. Do you know what I mean? So I never ever had the chance. Well, I did. One game, the reserve game, half the reserves were away, the under-19s were away, half the 17s were away, so it was like a mixed under-14s.
An under-12s captain was new.
You were
so I get again, the captains, yeah, probably 15-year-olds, I was slaughtering, not brilliant, but it was Blackpool, but it was a sort of token gesture, take that.
Did you have a game with Celtic that you thought, I can do this?
Well, The saddest thing for me was I had come back from my knee and it took me a while to get up to speed. It really did, and I played Airdrie on a Saturday morning. It was International Week, so Scotland were playing whatever, but we were playing, so Lenny and that came to the game and I was absolutely amazing. And I don't mean that to be in that
arrogance,
way. But I was brilliant in that game, and in the last minute a boy came in and smashed my ankle. But after the game, we weren't sure how bad it was, and Lenny came in and said, you're going to be in the squad if you come out next week. So I swear to God, I was buzzing, and then went down to London. I was out for about 6 to 8 months or something. So that feeling that the manager saying that to you, it just kept ringing in my head, and right, I could be playing or whatever. I think it was when...
That's when maybe you need a bit of luck, because that could have been the thing, and maybe you took the confidence, maybe just come on against Mark, or even played and thought,
you know.
I can be here, I can play here, not mean. So it's luck, there's luck involved. Not
I was a 2.5 year result. Kills you, mate, doesn't it?
The ankle one was horrible, because when I came back, I didn't feel the surgery really helped. It did to an extent I could get through it, but I still was having to get injections in it. I couldn't strike through the ball. I couldn't jump on it, and I just felt I wasn't the same player anymore. So I don't know. It does certainly kill you, though.
Did you used to love going away with the first team?
It was the most, even my ma, I swear to God, when I used to tell my ma, she was grabbing us and all that, shaking us, and I was shaking her. Charlie, it was the most amazing feeling, though.
Wait, so show us how you'd shake each other.
Honestly, but it would just grab me, she would grab me first like that, and then we'll just fucking, yeah, slap each other. And but see, that's what I was saying, see my ma's face, when especially, even when I was coming through it, my mother made my debut, not, but when I remember saying to her, Mitch, remember Mitch? Mitch?
Who was Michael Gardy?
No, no, Gary Parker's mate. Mitch. He drove me to the house. I was a late call up to the squad on the Friday, and the boys were got to the hotel, so he came and picked me up, and he was outside, waiting outside my house, and I was like, my ma, just look, why they say, like, coach using lights, like, my ma was in tears, floods of tears. And that was the hardest thing for me, Si, coming away for the game. No giving her that feeling, no. Charlie, do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Aye, so it was, but you live life, Charlie, don't you? You live, enjoy yourself, don't you?
But see, after Celtic, there must have been one stage of your career that you enjoyed. None of the part-time stuff now.
For a laugh, aye.
What was the best laugh?
Oh, it was absolutely, the air was absolutely mental. I mean, absolutely crazy. You used to get home at 11, 12 o'clock after training, and all the boys would eat McDonald's and pizzas and all that. And then you think to yourself, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. But it was great, and I met amazing people there. I must say, friends for life I met at that club. But again, it's not my level. I wasn't putting this air to play that level, Charlie, and I will not waste another second in the game. And I'm going to tell you one, if anybody thinks that my media game is a flash in the pan, well, think again, I'm going to tell you why. The 25th of November 1991 was the day Freddie Mercury, the greatest showman that's ever lived, passed away. All right? Passed away.
How do you remember that day? That's brilliant.
Exactly. That day was the day I was born. One God out, one God in.
What a way to end it, by you.
Is that finished?
No, have you enjoyed his media stuff? Do you think he's got a chance of going far? 100%.
Brilliant. Amazing. He'd tell you what to text him in that.
Well, do you know what, Charlie? I've no go to Twitter. I stay away. I like quiet.
You should get on Twitter, shouldn't
he? But one of my mates sent something you said to a guy. It was absolutely amazing. I think you said
stuck up for him.
Aye, it was just amazing to see somebody in your position doing that, because a lot of people in your position, they don't want all the hassle. But for you to do that, again, a total hero of mine, he sat beside him the day, and my God, I couldn't have been on a worse day, looks-wise, for somebody that good-looking to be sit beside me. You couldn't believe it, Charlie. What would you do if you woke up one morning and Mahid was on your body?
That was brilliant, isn't it? You handsome?
Phone Stevie Frail.
See, I've got your face here. You want it back?
You want it for your head?
Right. Well, yeah, give that to your man, innit?
Hi, Charlie, thanks very much for the present. It's a massive privilege to get it. I was wondering if you could sign it to the Slanes.
Not a problem,
not
mate.
A problem. Not a problem. He's going to hug it. It's been a pleasure with both of you.
Pleasure, mate.
Absolute legend, honestly, a legend. I'll give you a wee top man. Brilliant. We'll do it again.
We'll definitely do it again. Thanks for joining.